I know there's someone watching this right now that's surprised by that, but I promise you that's the reality. And it circles right back around to the statistic that I believe that chiropractic is of the highest default of student loans of any medical profession when it comes to student loans in the United States. That points to a section of the industry that's performing pretty badly.
So if I was running a single doc practice and I'm looking to expand and get some associates on board, what would be your advice?
I think that's a question I get asked all the time. So you have to remember that at almost every chiropractor's, a point in every chiropractor's career, they start to ask themselves some questions. And it goes something like this: is this it? Either they've been practicing by themselves for many, many years, and typically it'll either be that they've seen someone else grow a multi-associate business, or that they're a little bit tired and burnt out. Typically, someone will only want to hire multiple associates for one of a few reasons, but it goes something like this. It's either that they want more time or more money or a variation of both. And the advice I always give to everyone who's looking to open an associate-based practice is that typically in the beginning, when you look at opening an associate-based practice, you're going to have less of both in the beginning. You're going to have less time, you'll have less money in the beginning. That is definitely not what anyone wants to hear. But you will have less time and less money in the beginning. So that's one of the hardest things the hardest conversations I normally have with a chiropractor is, are you sure you want to open an associate-based practice because you're going to have less time and less money in the beginning? I normally get greeted with weird looks at that time, at that point, which requires me to explain a little bit more. So remember, one of the things is, if you're familiar with Robert Kiyosaki's work, he's got this thing called the cash flow quadrant. And he talks about you're either self-employed, or he's got this quadrant, like a four-piece quadrant, and maybe we can put it on the screen at some point. But you're either, on one side of the quadrant, there is employed and self-employed. Typically about 80% of the world is employed or self-employed, and they control about 20% of the world's wealth. On the other side of the quadrant, you have business owner and you have investor. Typically about 20% of the world is in this half of the quadrant, and they control 80% of the world's wealth. Robert Kiyosaki has essentially made a living from teaching people how to go from self-employed, which is on the bottom of the quadrant, to at the top of the quadrant, at the half of the quadrant, which is from self-employed to business owner. But what they never talk about is, and having toured with Robert for 3 weeks myself in Europe, the move from self-employed to business owner is the single hardest move a business owner will ever make for a number of reasons. One is there will be absolutely a drop in profit, a drop in income. So they've lived their lifestyle according to a certain amount of income. They all of a sudden decide they want to have associates. They don't really acknowledge the fact that they're moving from self-employed to business owner. The definition of a business is a profit-making enterprise that works without you. Almost no one in chiropractic has a business. Let me say that again. A profit-making enterprise that works without you. Okay? That means that most business profit margins, a very successful business can run at profit margins of about 15%. So I follow a guy by the name of Greg Crabtree. He's an excellent finance. He wrote some excellent finance books. And when you go through the percentage profits, where it's like a 10%, 5% profit, 10% profit, 15% profit, in his text, he will state that 15% profit is very healthy. Okay, 20%. So I've worked with many associate-based businesses who run at 30% profit margins, but it's typically seven figures and above. Okay, so here's what happens is someone says, I want associates. They want more time or more money. They hire the first associate. The worst number in business
is one.
So then what happens is we have one associate. You're highly risked because that one associate typically, and the chances of your first associate you're hiring working out are slim to none, by the way, statistically. So not only that, so let's say they don't work out, which is fine, which is normal. Like, you've got to learn somehow. You haven't hired anyone before. You've never been to the interview process. So that associate doesn't work out. You've invested in them more time than you could possibly imagine and more finances than you can imagine, because especially a new grad will need a ton of extra new patients, and that costs money. The most expensive way to grow any business is acquire a ton of new patients in a short space of time. Growth, any growth is achievable, It just depends how much you're prepared to spend. So that's why in our platinum group, we don't recommend more. We don't recommend, especially they're seven figures already, right? Many of them are seven figures already. So 30% growth and more is slightly dangerous territory, because that means that typically what will happen in those circumstances, especially in an associate-based business, is when they grow by more than 30%, 30 to 40% in a year, it's often when those people that have the meetings with their accountants post the year, and they've grown by a quarter of a mil, 300,000, 400,000, but they've shown no extra profit. So, and that's typically because they're trying to grow an associate-based model, and they've either pulled out themselves too soon, that they're not adjusting and they just want to grow associates, and then they're not used to the acceptable healthy profit margins that a business, let me say the definition again, a profit making enterprise that works without you, that a business runs at, because they're used to running at 50% profit margins, they're using, or 40% profit margins,
which are
as
essentially
a business.
self-employed.
So it's not your fault. As a business, you've never experienced this before. You're a self-employed person. You've been by yourself. One person at the front desk or two people at the front desk. You've been adjusting. Your margins are through the roof. And all of a sudden, you're like, I want more time. I want a business. You read a book like, there's a famous book, which I somewhat tease, which a lot of people say is an incredible book. And for me, I didn't find it this way. I'm a bit contrarian like that. But it's called The E-Myth by Michael E. Gerber. And it's essentially a book on how you can cookie cutter your business. It was written in an industrial era where the way to make wealth was through essentially creating a factory. If you had 20 branches, 30 branches, McDonald's, he talks about McDonald's all the time in the book, how can you go to one McDonald's here and have exactly the same thing here as you can there? The problem is there's about 100 different chiropractic techniques alone. Every college is teaching something different. Good luck trying to cookie cutter chiropractic. It's not really a thing. The thing that makes a great chiropractic practice is the opposite of cookie cutter. It's their uniqueness. It's the doc's personality. It's their brand. And then we have this mismatch of reading the E-Myth, which is, yes, you should have what they call recipes and scripts and templates. Of course, those things, but that's a permission to play. It's not like you're an excellent business if you have that.
It's the bare minimum.
That's the bare minimum. Like, of course, you should have scripts to answer the telephone call, because the person answering the telephone call right now is not going to be there for the next how many years. It's the bare minimum, that stuff. It's not like, oh, we're an excellent business. No, that's the bare minimum. So someone will read the E-Myth and they'll go, awesome, I know how to do this. I'm going to create a business that doesn't rely on me. But the biggest mistake they make is they don't factor in the significant drop in income and the stress that's associated with that, and the extra marketing spend that's required to fill relatively inexperienced, unskilled, at times, new grads. They have to learn somehow. That's how I learned. All of us learned that way. But they're going to do it on your dime. So to circle back around to your question is, what should someone consider if they're going to open an associate-based practice? The biggest consideration is, remember, the goal is to be happy. So you heard somebody on some podcast, or Robert Kiyosaki or Michael E. Gerber from the E-Myth say, you don't have a business if you don't have a profit-making enterprise that works without you. But the truth is, some of the most successful financially free people on the planet were people who had their own brand, and yes, the entire income was reliant on them. I think of your Ronaldos and your whoever. It's them, right? Like, Tony Robbins owns many businesses now, but how did he build his business? It's off his brand. So you're not failing. You're not failing if you run an excellent business and crazy cool margins, and it is reliant on you. That's scary, because I know you can be hit by a bus, or you can lose your hands, or you can have an injury. And for chiropractors, that makes us fearful. So the first thing is, are you sure you're ready to take on everything that is needed to run a business, which again is a profit-making enterprise that works without you? That significant drop in profit margins in the beginning, and the biggest challenge, staffing. So some people should never hire or should never run a big team, because it's damn hard. And And the 10 years it takes you to figure that out, they could have made $2 million net. That they could have taken the $2 million and they could have put it, and they're fearful of, what if something happens to me, Ryan? They could have made, in the 10 years of at least earning a third of what you'd earn if you'd just smashed it yourself and gone for it, you could have taken that asset, which is cash, and you could have redeployed that into a profit-making thing like property, etc., or diversified. And for some chiropractors, I truly believe, not all, and I am the poster child for this. I have 8 offices, multiple associates, 30 to 50 associates at any one time. That strangely made me happy. But for some people, it's the most miserable experience of their life. And then they feel like they failed when they can't pull that off, when they're sitting on a business where they're clearing $500,000 a year and they think that's failure. Mm. It's ridiculous. So rather take the cash and put it into some solid investments. It's literally called safe as houses for a reason. That's what I do. I just take for a long period of time. I took any available cash and I redeployed it in a profit-making enterprise like real estate. So I was able to diversify, if you will, that way. But it wasn't through this idea that I'm going to have. It was for me, but for many people, I don't think it's the right path to go down that route of hiring associates. The truth is, you've got to know yourself. And sure, give it a go. But if it's not for you, do not think you're failing. In fact, it's the opposite of that. Sometimes I think the most successful people on the planet are the people that know when to quit at the right times. So like, okay, I was making $400,000 a year net as a single doc, smashing it with 2 staff members, not working Fridays and Saturdays, and I had this entrepreneurial brain fart that I'm going to go open a whole bunch of practices or hire a whole bunch of associates. I now earn half what I used to earn. I literally had a call from a doc. I literally had a coaching call with a chiropractor that wants to work with me, and he jumped in the call. He was doing really, really well with one practice. He decided to open a second practice, hire associates across the two. We jumped in the call to find out if I could help him, and his opening lines were, "Doc, everyone in the business is making more money than me now. All the associates are higher paid than me now."
And they probably have more time because they finish their shift and clock off, whereas management is 24/7.
They definitely have more time. Mm. So, to circle back around to your question is, you just have to really take a long, hard look in the mirror and fully know what you're getting yourself in for. There's a saying, be the wizard, don't fall for the wizard's tricks. I love Robert Kiyosaki. I love what he teaches. He's changed my life in many ways. I was blessed enough to tour with him for 3 weeks. He essentially made a living from telling people to go from self-employed to business owner, because self-employed people get taxed the most, okay, and employed. Whereas as a business owner, you have many tax advantages. As an investor, you have many tax advantages. But I've had many meals with him, and him and his best friend and mentor of mine. You know, when you sit down and chat with them through the process of going from business owner, from self-employed person to business owner, they will follow it up by saying it's the hardest thing a professional ever do. By professional, I mean dentist, doctor, chiropractor, anyone like that. It's the hardest thing they'll ever do because their margins are so high. It's a drop in income. Most of them haven't got a skill set entailed at that point in their career to hire, motivate, inspire. And truthfully, some of them should not be doing it. Now, after you've heard someone like me realistically tell you the realities of running an associate-based business or a profit-making enterprise that works out for you, a true business, now if you still have the fire in your belly to do it, I always say that's a good sign. If you jump on a call with me and you ask me the same question on a coaching call, I will try to persuade you, or at least try get you to really take a long, hard look at those realities. And if it still burns in your belly, then it's normally quite a good sign. I've got a client of mine now. They make a ton of money. They do not need to do this. They want to open multiple practices. And I was like, are you sure? And after telling them all the potential challenges they're going to have, huge, huge risk, big boy problems, more risk than you could possibly... I mean, I had £500,000 worth of rent a year, just rent around. Like, are you sure you want that? And they still decide they want to do that. And they've gone and opened this unbelievable practice, incredible practice close to London. And I'm not worried about them all because they had about a 6 months to a year of me and them asking really detailed questions about what happens if this and this happens? Is there a possibility that I can go bankrupt? I'm like, yep. And what happens if this happens, this happens? What happens if like three associates leave all at once? I'm like, yep, it's a possibility. It's not even a possibility. It will happen. It's more than likely it'll happen. Like, how are you going to cope with that? And then we role played the scenarios. And after all of that, they're still like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, I want to give this a go. I've got to go for it. And this is why I think they say entrepreneurs are sometimes make no sense. We're crazy beasts, because sometimes it makes no sense. It's just like something we have to go for and fulfill. But I want you to, I just want the person who's thinking like, should I hire an associate? Remember, less time, less money in the beginning. Are you going to, and if you're going to, if the goal is to pull yourself out of the practice, you need to know the math of how many associates you need, seeing how many people that allows you to live the lifestyle that you require, so that you don't, so that if you want to stop adjusting, so that's possible. And you might look at that math and go, freaking heck, I don't want that. The math might be 700 visits a week.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up question, is if someone is hell-bent on doing it, how many do they need? How many associates can you limp in? Can, you know, we talk about the hybrid model, the full associate model.
Yeah.
What's your opinions on that?
Okay, so if you want to open an associate-based business, the first, what most people do is they hire one and they're like, I need to find my fee to that. Okay. We actually recently listened to a podcast and someone said this and said, I tell you where most dreams go to die. Most dreams go to die with the following statement: when I'm ready. That's where most dreams go to die. Okay. And I'm getting ready, or I'm preparing, etc. So yes, I get it. One associate, and then when you're ready, you'll hire the second. But in my experience, one's the worst number in business. More than likely, it's not going to work out long term with the associate. There's a good chance, because you haven't had experience with it. And trust me, if you're watching this, I have more experience than 99% of people on the planet when it comes to this metric I'm going to give you now. I always say that five associates is where you need to be prepared to, if you're going to pull out of it, if you're going to stop adjusting. If you're not prepared to go to five associates, because typically what happens is, of five associates, you have, let's call it two rock stars, okay? What do rock stars do? Rock stars leave, okay? Hello, Mr. Rockstar watching this. You probably were an associate one day and you were like, I need to leave and go do this thing and fulfill this burning desire. And you probably made more money as an associate. When you look back, you actually made more money as an associate for the first couple of years until you really found your feet. And you were like, that was a crazy idea, but you still had to do it, because that's what rock stars do. So rock stars leave. So you've got two rock stars right now. Assume they're leaving. They're resigning.
Sometimes it's better for the business if the rock star leaves.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. There's this great chef. He's actually statistically created the most Michelin star chefs in the world. And I was watching in an interview once, and they said to him, how do you know when someone needs to leave? And he said, when they're at their best, I fire them. And then the interviewer was like, I don't get it. Why would you do that? He's like, it's just at that point they need to go. Nothing I can, no amount of money I can pay them, there's nothing I can do to that. If they're really that type of person, they will fulfill that desire that they need to go and express themselves in their own entrepreneurial venture. So they need to leave, and they become quite morose at that point and grumpy and miserable and not a good team player. So you're right. Sometimes a rock star just needs to leave. Mm. And it's good for them. And you see them be happier. And I've helped many of my rock stars leave and looked at their leases, and it was a blessing. It was a blessing for me and for them. So yeah, sometimes they have to leave. Okay. So you got two of the five that are rock stars. They, let's say they're resigning in the next 12 months. Okay. 18 months at best. You know, I always say after 2 years, you're in bonus territory. I know there's someone watching this that's going, oh, my associates stay 5 years. Dude, I get it. I 30 to 50 associates for 10 years of my life. We had associates stay 7 years, 8 years. But I'm telling you, after an associate has been with you for 2 years, you're in bonus territory. You just have to believe me on this. So there's two rock stars who are resigning within the next 18 months. Then you've got three other people in the business, right? Typically, I'll start with what I like to call the chiropractic version of a sloth. Okay, it doesn't matter what business it is. There's nothing bad about the chiropractors or anything. It's every single business has a lower performing percentage.
I was going to say, it always reminds me when we talk about associates. It's very similar to a sales team in how they operate, and some of the most successful businesses on the planet often fire their bottom 25%.
Yeah, Barbara Cochran from Shark Tank, when she's asked what's the single thing that made her that led to success, she regularly answers with, and she was in the most, let's call it aggressive, male-dominated industry at the time in the world, which was New York City real estate. And she says, the single biggest reason I succeeded was I fired 25% of my staff every year. Mm-hmm. The bottom 25% every year, she fired every year. That sounds really, really harsh. But there's this, let's go back to our chiropractic sloth then. It's just, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make a drink. So there's no amount of training that you could possibly give a certain individual that's going to help them perform the way that you need to, right? Typically, what also happens is your top two associates are the busiest, and you may not have efficiency in your schedule, but what happens is you'll end up having the quietest doc with the lowest PVA, seeing the most amount of new patients, because these two are often too busy, especially if there's inefficiencies in the schedule. So then that's even a bigger drain in the business. Mm. So that's what she was referring to, is like, if I do have the bottom 25% and they're getting all the leads for the real estate, then they're wasting the leads. They're burning the leads. So they're taking commission away from my top performers. If I take commission away from my top performers, they stay less, because top performers want to earn money.
Mm.
So I have to find a way. Everyone says they want A players. I always say, good luck trying to keep an A player. You can't have your cake and eat it. It's like, I also want A players, but then you have to create an environment for them to fulfill the financial potential that they want, etc. Good luck trying to keep an A player. Everyone talks about that. So, but this is part of it. Is if this guy's getting 5 new patients a week and this one's getting 7 new patients a week, you watch this one get pissed off, because he's like, dude, I'm seeing 250 visits a week and this one's seeing 60 visits a week. It doesn't make any sense. And he's right.
Mm.
It doesn't make any sense.
Him less money makes the business less money.
It makes no sense. You're choosing to sell a lower product. So I'm just talking about the economics of it now, right? And the reality of it that you have to consider if you want to open a associate-based business. So we have two rock stars who are leaving in a certain amount of time. We have our chiropractic version of a sloth. No matter what you do, they're not going to see high visits, right? Because they're living at home, actually, by the way. I have almost never worked with an associate, and I've probably worked with more associates than just about anyone on the planet. And there might be one person watching this that's like, oh, maybe I have. You know, there's less than 5 people on the planet that have worked as many associates as I have. Fact. So this typically that in my experience, that new grad or whatever that's come out is living at home. So they don't have any risk. They don't have any, there's no real motivation.
Mm.
And then we've got our two, what I like to call steady eddies. Eddies are great. They are typically earning enough money to be satisfied. They don't really have the drive or ambition or they potentially don't even want the sacrifice required to see higher numbers, either on their body or their mind or the compromise on lifestyle that may be required for them. They want to be off on Wednesdays afternoons, and they want to go to the park, or they want to do their CrossFit, and they want to do their thing. And you know what? That's absolutely fine. If the finances of it work in the business, and they're not blocking a significant room or adjustment slot in the business where you have another rock star, it works really, really well. And often you have great relationships with them. And specifically if they are still engaged, I always say, even if you have part-timers, part-time hours. I don't enjoy part-times, by the way, but part-time hours, but it has to be full-time commitment. So that means even if someone's part-time, they still have to engage with all the team meetings, all the team socials. That's my rule.
And in your business, what would you kind of classify as a steady Eddie in regards to visits per week? What was that kind of band for you?
So depends who asked me this question in what country. But I would typically say we have worked with associates that have been above 200 visits a week. They would be rock stars.
Mm.
Right. So like if I've got an associate seeing over 200 visits a week, 150 to 250 visits a week, I've had associates 300 visits a week, but I'd say 150 to 250 visits a week, we're talking, they're making crazy cool money.
Mm.
They're serving a lot of people. The business is making really good money off that. And then my 70 is to 150 a week. Not that 140 a week is a steady Eddie. But in this, if you had to ask me to define it, I'd be like, those type of people, when they start seeing 100, 150 a week, they're making really good money, they can live good lifestyles, they can travel, they can do those type of things, and they may be, that might be their comfort zone, and they might be like, I'm cool there. And then for me, anyway, the chiropractic version of a sloth is our, just financially on the business, specifically depending on the percentages you pay them, is like your 50s, 60s a week. And there's plenty of chiropractors. You know what, eh? Like, if I had to give you an estimation here of all, and I literally interact with thousands of chiropractors every single year, no matter what you see on stage and no matter what you hear about chiropractors seeing thousands of visits a week or 1,000 visits a week or 500 visits a week or 700 visits a week, and they do exist, and we have them in our group, and, you know, we've got Inner Circle members seeing 200 visits a day. The reality is that most chiropractors on the planet see about 100 a week. And then you take your average, that's like some good chiropractors, and then average chiropractors, you know, there's lots and lots and lots of chiropractors that I jump on calls with that aren't 60 visits a week. I know there's someone watching this right now that's surprised by that, but I promise you that's the reality. And it circles right back around to the statistic that I believe that chiropractic is of the highest default of student loans of any medical profession when it comes to student loans in the United States. That points to a section of the industry that's performing pretty badly.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you like what you heard, please do us a big favor and head across to our podcast platform at DC Practice Growth Podcast and give us a follow, a review, and a share. You know anyone else that could benefit from this content. And if there's anything else you'd like to find out about how to grow your practice and impact more lives, head across to dcpracticegrowth.com, where you can find out all about our latest content, books, and upcoming events. See you soon.